Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a responsible day for the first day of Kislev. I'm actually going to do a tshuva that was written on the second day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Kislev can sometimes have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, meaning Cheshvan can have 30 days or 29. As we discussed on the 29th day of Cheshvan in our recording for then, so this is from a year in which there were two, but the second day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev is the first of Kislev, and therefore I chose to do it because it gives us a chance to get to know the Netziv a little bit better. Happens to be that in Kislev I found 3 tshuvot by the Netziv. I just don't usually do so, so when I find them, I often take advantage of them. So in this case, it's a tshuva of the Netziv from Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, who was the last Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin, because the Russian government made demands on the yeshiva that he felt he was unable to accept, and therefore he felt that he had to close the yeshiva. It's a whole long story of its own, which is what the demands were, what he wasn't willing to put up with, what he was willing to put up with. But that's our discussion for now. The overall halakhic discussion that the Netziv is going to have, this is from Meshiv Davar, volume 4, responsive number 50, from the second day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev, or the first of Kislev, for Tafresh Membet 18, 81, in Volozhin. The question is about a particular halakhic issue that we'll get to in 1 second. We'll have a discussion about that, but it's a response that's almost as interesting for his approach to whether or not he can respond as it is for the actual response. So the question that came before him was that a certain Kohen had apparently left on a business trip. And this is in the late 1800s. Apparently, travel was dangerous. And if it was an extended trip, you didn't know what would happen. And life was felt to be very tenuous. So he had given his wife a get that if he didn't return within 3 years from Me'akshav, from now, that it would be a get. The reason to do that, so let's remember, there are 2 reasons to give a get. One reason to give it a get is because sadly the marriage is broken down, and couple has to get divorced. But another reason to give a get is if there's an uncertainty and there's a worry that the wife might be left stranded with no good knowledge of where her husband is and no ability, therefore, to know if she's allowed to remarry, to know how to put her life back together. So you would give a get al tnai, in some kind of a condition with some kind of a rule to it, such that she shouldn't be stranded. For a Kohen to do it is particularly has a few more complications, as we're going to see in this response, because if a Kohen divorces his wife, he cannot remarry her. So meaning, for example, let's say a regular Jew in the Kohen of David HaMelech, the Kohen of King David, was going to war. The Gemara tradition was they would give their wives gittin al tnai. They would write, and we saw a tshuva, I don't remember what it was, but reports I got a tshuva, whether that was a good idea for Israeli soldiers to do, and how you would execute that many gittin all at once, al tnai, and how to handle it, how not to handle it. But let's suppose a regular Jew does that, and let's suppose he doesn't come back in time, and then he comes back before she gets married again. So they can just get married again. Right? They're happy with each other. There was no break in the marriage. The husband had to go to war, or a business trip, or whatever it was. He disappeared for long enough time that the tenai, the condition of the get, kicked in, but he makes it back before she remarries. So it's sort of no harm nor foul, because, you know, she hasn't remarried, they can marry each other. With a Kohen, that's not true. If a Kohen divorces his wife for any reason, they can never get married again because she's now a grusha. She is now a divorcee. True, she's a divorcee from him, but it doesn't matter halachically. So here we have a Kohen who gave his wife a get, and the condition of the get was he didn't make it back within 3 years. They would be divorced. Now, so apparently it was a long business trip or a long whatever it was, and he wasn't sure what was going to happen, and therefore he wanted to spare her the trouble or the problem of having to spend her life stranded without him. 3 years is a significant amount of time not to have your husband around. So that was the get that he gave to her. Within that time, he very much wanted to come. The way it's written in the question is, right? And then I kept a few words, but he wanted to see her again while he was alive, but it didn't work out. So he wrote her a letter asking her to destroy the get, meaning the get hasn't taken effect yet. It only takes effect if he's gone 3 years. Let's say this is year 2. He realizes he may not make it back in the next year. He had thought now in year 2 would be a good opportunity to get back. He tried very hard. He didn't get back. So he writes her a letter, please destroy the get. If she destroys the get, it can't take effect because it's not there at the moment it's supposed to take effect. She goes to the rabbi, the person who had put together the get for them, the divorce for them, the bill of divorce. And she does so. She asks him to tear it. And the misader of the get, the guy who put it together, The phrase in the tshuva in the question is Heidicha bidvarim. He pushed her aside with words. It's unclear what the words were, and that's going to be something relevant that the Netziv will bring up at the end of the response. But it's unclear what he said. But he didn't get torn up. And then, after 3 years, a little after 3 years, the husband comes back. She's not remarried, but it doesn't matter because he's a kohen and now she's a grusha. And they very much want to live together. They want to be married to each other. So the man writing the question to the Netziv says, he had apparently looked in various tshuvos, various books, and he thought he had found reasons that they could get married, they could stay married, that they could ignore the get. Get was no longer valid. It had been nullified or it had been destroyed, whatever it was, and therefore it should be okay. And so too he had found somebody else, another important rabbi, who had said so as well. But there were people who disagreed. So the people who were disagreeing were, unfortunately, as Jews do, sometimes out of principle and sometimes out of not such principle, but often even out of principle, say, you know, I don't know how they're staying together. He's a Kohen and she's a Grusha, and then they might be saying, and their kids, I don't know how we can treat them as Kohanim, because the rule is that if a Kohen marries and somebody's not allowed to marry, the children become Chalalim. They are not allowed to function as Kohanim, and therefore there's all these issues that are coming up. And therefore, this man had written to the Netziv to find out what the Netziv would say. So the actual halakhic content, we'll get to in a second, it will revolve around the question of whether or not her demonstrating that she wanted the get to go away, her demonstrating that she doesn't want the tonight to be fulfilled, that she was hoping for the tonight not to be fulfilled, all of that, so that will be what the real discussion is about in halakhic terms. But before we get there, the Netziv has an interesting excursus or discussion of whether or not he's allowed to talk about this. He says, you know, if there are people who are taking an opposite position to your position, so it's a debate between two sides, and they, if they're arguing with you, he says, Mistama lav katle kanya, they're probably not, you know, nobody. Katle kanya ba'agma is a phrase in the Gemara. It means the reed cutters in the marsh. But what it really means is somebody, that's who somebody you would think of as being not so important. So if somebody is offended a little bit that somebody's treating them as unimportant, they'll say something like, what, and I'm a katle kanya ba'agma, I'm just like reed cutter? So as if he's saying, you may be a Talmud Chacham, you're writing me the letter, and the man who's with you, the Beis Din of Seville, of Saville, is also a very important guy, but you have people on the other side, they're probably also too. So he says, I really can't express my opinion until they come and tell me what they're thinking. Because maybe, you know, if I had heard their side, I would see it differently. And that was true, he says, points out, even the time of the great Sanhedrin. It says, "V'derashta v'higidu lecha idvar hamishpat." You will ask them, and then they'll tell you dvar hamishpat. They'll tell you what the halacha is. It doesn't say yorucha hamaaseh. They'll teach it to you. V'higidu dvar hamishpat, meaning after they hear both sides, that's when they're going to be able to find the truth. They need to hear both sides. It's almost, although this isn't halakhic reality, but it's almost like an adversarial version, as we have in America, you have an adversarial justice system, where the idea is that by both sides vigorously pushing their agendas, the truth comes out better because the judge can see both sides better. The Netziv is saying something like that here. It's not quite the same thing in halakhic batei din, but he's saying something like that here. It's not until the Beis Din, even the great Sanhedrin, filled with the greatest scholars in the land, hear both sides of an argument, that they have the right to come to a conclusion and to reach a psak, reach on an issue. And he says, and then presumably they also know how serious it is to force a husband and wife to stay divorced, and how serious it is to say that if somebody had a daughter, to say that this woman who's a daughter of Avraham Avinu is no longer able to marry a Kohen. All these things are important, and they know they're important, they know their significance. So they're so confident, so sure that of the ruling they have to give, then presumably there's something going on here. And the Torah says, this is a drasha you have at the end of Parshat Yitro. The Torah talks about the Mizbeach that Aaron would go up to, and it says there can't be steps there. There has to be a ramp, and the tradition was that was to make sure you didn't run too fast, you didn't go up too quickly. And then the next Pasuk in the Torah is Ve'ela Mishpatim, which talks about justice, and there's a brayta in the Gemara Sanhedrin that says that you have to be mitunim badin. You have to be very careful when passing judgment to do it temperately, meaning not only maybe to judge in a temperate way, but to take your time in coming to a conclusion, to realize that thinking things through sometimes takes time. It's not always true that our first impression is the one that is correct. And he says that might also be why he suggests there have always been, in halakha, there were always levels of court systems that you went through. Meaning, the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about that you'd go to the court in your city, and from there you'd go to the court maybe in your tribe, or maybe you'd go to the court on Har Abayin, which was also a court of 71, but it was, I think it was a court of 23, but it was a lesser court than the court in the Lishkat HaGazit in the main Sanhedrin. So you'd go step by step, meaning you wouldn't bypass the appeals process. You'd go through every step of the way. And the Nitziv is saying that that's not only because to avoid, it's not only to avoid overburdening the Sanhedrin HaGadol, it's because going through all these stages is part of being mitunim badin, letting each court weigh in on the issue at its level, and from there coming to the final correct conclusion. Because you're not supposed to run quickly or go quickly through Hora'ah, he says, through the passing of the ruling of Halacha. So we don't have those courts anymore, right? We don't have those systems, so there's no way you can do that. But nonetheless, one has to be very careful to do it in the right and proper way, and that means that the judges of any city should not be passing, they should not be ruling on issues if they're not well aware of them, if they haven't taken time to learn them and to understand them fully. And mistakes about these things can be very important, whether you're Makil or you're Machmir. Mistakes are bad because they lead us in the wrong direction, and therefore you have to make sure that you find the right people to judge issues. They are given the opportunity to know what they need to know in order to judge it properly and appropriately, and then, God willing, it'll all come out the right way. So therefore, he says, that should have meant that I couldn't answer your question because I haven't heard from the other side. But he says, that's not right either, because I don't want to have you walk away empty-handed, not knowing and understanding my thought process at all. So I want to tell you some of what I'm worried about, some of what concerns me on this issue, and what I would tend to think, even though it's clear that he hasn't heard from the other side. He says, it's known that in the Shulchan Aruch and Kuf Mem Dalet, Nevin HaEzer, that if the two of them agreed to get rid of a condition, that the get is batel. So if they agreed, in our case, it's well known, that if they agreed, yes, even if he doesn't come back within 3 years, we don't want it to be a get, right? The condition was, this is a get, unless I come back within 3 years. That's, by the way, it's going to be, there are two different kinds of conditions. There's a negative condition and a positive condition. Here it was, if this condition isn't fulfilled, it's a get. Sometimes the condition is, it's a get if the condition is fulfilled, right? You could say it here too. You could say, well, this is a get if I don't come back within 3 years. That's a non-thing happening. It's right. So if they want it not to be a get, they would have to say, even though he didn't come back, right, even though he failed to do what he was supposed to do to avoid it becoming a get, nonetheless. Whereas sometimes you can have a get where it says, this is a get if you pay me $5. So if that's the kind of a get, then if they were both saying we don't need the get to the condition to be fulfilled, that would suggest that it's a get anyway. So Shulchan Aruch is pointing out, in situations where they both agree to bitul tonight, in the sense that whatever it was going to make it a get, we're going to say, we don't want it to be a get. We're going to say that we don't need that condition to come true, and we don't want that condition to be seen as the way to get the get to be a get. Then it works, and the get is batel. It's no longer a valid get, and they won't be divorced. And therefore, in some situations, we have the husband says and is required to say it explicitly that he will believe her. He gives her ne'emanut. So ne'emanut in court is where one Jew says to another, that's going to happen in loans as well, says, I up front agree to accept your claims. So that doesn't mean I believe you. It means that I agree that your claims will be considered valid and we'll just accept them. So here, if the husband says she is believed, I ahead of time give her ne'emanut, I ahead of time believe her. If she says I didn't lo piyastia, I did not mollify her, I did not find a way to convince her to stop the get from being a get, and that's a Rambam and the Rambam and the Magen Mishnah there and the Beit Shmuel in Shulchan Aruch think the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch hold like the Ramban and the Rashba. They agree with the Ramban and the Rashba that either side can be mevatel the Tanai. So let's say he says, this is a get from now if I don't come and make up with you. And then we don't think he came up and made up with her, so as far as that should be a get. But she says, no, it's fine, he made up with me. Or he says ahead of time, but I leave it in her hands to verify whether I made up with her. And then she says, it's fine, he made up with me. So that's her sort of unilaterally saying that the time was fulfilled, even though we don't have any proof of it. And that would be true, we're saying, according to Ramban and the Rashba, even if the get was given me achshav. What that means is, I can give a get to a man can give a get to a woman, and say, this will be your get in 30 days, or this will be your get when X condition is fulfilled. But sometimes there are various reasons, financial and otherwise, and technical issues that can come up in a get, you might, or in other kinds of acquisitions, you might say, once this condition is fulfilled, whatever it is, I don't come back 3 years, the man doesn't come back in 3 years, or the man fails to make up with it within 30 days, whatever it is, it's a get from now. So that takes some effect already, because when the condition becomes fulfilled, what will happen halakhically is that it will reveal to us that it was a get all along. So that creates all sorts of issues. Let's say you have a get me'achshav like that, and this is not in the tshuva, but let's say you have a get me'achshav, man gives a woman a get, he says, if I fail to make up with you within 30 days, you're divorced from now, and on day 15, somebody else gives her kiddushin, somebody else tries to marry her, and then in the end it turns out that he didn't, in fact, make up with her, so the get takes effect, theoretically takes effect retroactively, and that should mean that she's now married to man number two, even though at the time she married man number two tried to marry her, or gave her the kiddushin to marry her, she wasn't fully divorced. So that becomes all sorts of halakha questions. So one issue that can come with me'achshav is you might have thought that the ability to be mevatel a tanai, the ability to get rid of a tanai, is not as powerful in that situation because the get has already somewhat taken effect, so maybe they don't have the right anymore to change the terms of their interactions. So it sounds like, though, that we think that she can from the fact that the husband is allowed to believe her, and that would mean that if he hadn't said me'achshav, then maybe the husband himself also can mevatel v'tnai because, you know, when somebody makes a condition, in general, halacha, you can later decide that you don't want the condition to come into play, and therefore it should be okay, and that would suggest then that if they both agree, even though he's already given the get to her, if they both agree to get rid of the tanai and to change the terms, that it should be okay. That's what a first reading would say. But the nitziv is not going to be comfortable with that idea. He's not comfortable with the idea that they can just change the tanai after the fact. For one thing, because the Rambam and the Meiri and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch didn't say that. They said, sorry, it's not that they didn't say it. They didn't include that. Even if he says almanat, that's another way one can bring a tanai. Almanat means if it's not. It sounds like it means it's not a yet a get at all until that thing happens. I apologize. I got that exactly reversed. If somebody gives a get to a woman and says this is your get if such and such happens, it sounds like it only becomes a get once that thing's happened. If somebody says this is your get almanat on the condition that sounds much more like what the person means is it's already a get. There's just this condition that has to be fulfilled. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch don't bring up that issue when they talk about being able to be mevatel a tanai. And therefore, so there's a manuscript version question here. It doesn't really matter whether he says, al menache evoy mi neged panai, that I'll leave and go away. And the Gemara says, well, we have to worry. Maybe he appeased her. Maybe he got her to agree that she wouldn't want the tanai. She wouldn't care about the tanai anymore. She wouldn't care about the conditions. She would let the whole gittin issue drop. And that would follow the opinion that she has the ability to do so. But if the girsa is, it's a get as long as kol zman she'evor. So there's no proof there of anything because there was no almanat. Anyway, it gets into these questions of what the right girsa is. In the Gemara, the Rif has a girsa of we should worry that maybe he came back, not that he was mefayis, and that would suggest that she doesn't have the power or he doesn't have the power to agree. So meaning underlying all this question, and there are different opinions about it, and the Tziv is not taking them apart. He's just saying there are different opinions about this fundamental question of once a get has been executed with a condition attached to it, what are the abilities of the parties to the issue to change that, to find a way around it, to find a way to say we don't want that condition to apply. So somehow they can, and somehow they can, and somewhat depends on your manuscript version of the Gemara. That always becomes an interesting question as to how we work with those things. In any case, all of that is at play here, and you end up having different opinions about whether or not you can have bitul ha-tanai, you can get rid of the tanai in terms of saying that the get therefore won't take effect. There is a Gemara in Gittin on 76a on Ayin Vav Ben Aleph, where if a man says harezeh giteich, it'll be a get for you if you give me 200 zuz, and then later on he says to her in front of two people on condition that you serve my father in some way, my father needs help, you give my father the help that he needs. So it sounds there like he also has the power to change the tanai, change the condition to the get, but there Rashi had already said that was in a situation where he had not yet given her the get, sounding like once he gives her the get with a condition, he no longer has the power to change it. Now that meaning, if he no longer has the power to change it, means that it sounds like it means that the get is something that she wants rather than he necessarily wants. He gives her the get, then he wants to change the condition. If we say he doesn't have the power to change it, means that the get is now in her power in some sense, and as long as she fulfills his condition, that's a condition, meaning he told her it would cost you 200 zuz. She apparently wants to be able to get divorced, so she wants to give him the 200 zuz. So if we say he has the power to change it to a different thing, that means that he has the ability. But that all sounds like something that we don't think of as so much necessarily today, that she's the one who wants the divorce, or sometimes it happens that way. She wants the divorce, and the condition is in her powers. In any case, it's unclear there that he has the power, because Rashi says, no, that's the case, we hadn't given her the get yet. And so to the Shiltot had understood the Gemara that way. After a little bit more back and forth, and Nisib comes down and says, he thinks that the Ikar, the main way to read it all, is like the Ran wrote in Gemara and Gittin at the end of a parak called Misha Achzo, that it depends on what kind of tanah we're talking about. If there's a condition that's hers, that's for her benefit, that's where we would say that if he convinces her to get rid of it, then we should allow it. Meaning, let's say he says, you can have a get, let's say she wants a get for whatever reason. He would prefer to stay married for whatever reason. Let's for now assume that he has good and not nefarious reasons for wanting to stay married. But he doesn't want her to be completely upset. So he says, okay, here's your get almanat that you gave me, $100. Right? The Ran says it makes sense that she would be able to forego that eventually and say, you know what, that's all in her power to do also. She could just not give him the $100, it wouldn't be a get. But let's say he's going to war, he's going on a business trip, and she's very upset, and he's going to disappear. He says, fine, here's a get almanat that I'll come back within a year. And then something happens, but you know, they have a long-distance phone call with each other, and he convinces her he still loves her, and he's really making his way back, and he'll be back in a year and 2 days, and she should please not ever. It makes sense there that the whole condition was for her benefit. So if it was for her benefit, the Ran says, then she should have the power to say, I don't want it to happen anymore, even though the get has already been executed in that way. But if he says, on condition that you give me 200 zuz, and it's me'achshav, but it's from now, right, so that's not her ability to say that even if she gave him the 200 zuz, she could say, no, I didn't want to be divorced. Right? Because, so there, it's unclear why she would have given him the 200 zuz, but that's not a condition that was for her benefit. That was a condition for his benefit. So the Ran says there are different kinds of conditions in getting, and therefore the power over whether one can say they shouldn't count anymore, whether one can get rid of the tanai of the condition as a factor, and therefore prevent the get from taking effect, that should depend on what kind of a tanai it is. And then that would explain also why the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch didn't mention this whole almanat thing, the difference between different kinds of get, whether it's from now or on condition that, because if the whole question is who gets benefit from the condition, it doesn't matter at all the words with which it was given, even if it was given be'im or with almanat, whichever words were used. If it's the kind of condition that's for her benefit, then she should have the power to get rid of it, to ignore it. But if it's a condition that was for his benefit, then she wouldn't have that power. So therefore, he thinks that if it's a condition that's for her benefit, she should have the ability to ignore it, which in our case would be that they're really not divorced, because when she said she wanted to get rid of the tanai, the condition of him having to come back within 3 years, since it was a condition for her benefit, then he says fundamentally that should have worked. But he says in this situation he's not sure, because that's only if she says it explicitly. She says there was this condition and I don't want it anymore and I don't care about it. My husband said I would be divorced. He would divorce me. He would let me free, basically. If he didn't come away like 3 years, I want to wait longer and I don't want the get to take effect. So she'd come to a court or had to set up two witnesses to know about it, or in our case it couldn't happen, but let's say the husband had been there for some reason. For our case, that would ruin the whole thing anyway. But let's say there was another condition that he had made. So she says in front of him, I don't need that condition to come true. I don't need it anymore and I'm fine. So all that should be true. That should work, Feminative says. But in our situation, he's not convinced. And the reason he's not convinced, so here, I have to confess, he loses me a little bit. He says the reason he's not convinced is, she never said, I want the get to be batel. I want the get to be no longer valid. When she wrote a letter to the husband and says, I'm sorry, the letter the husband wrote to her, nope, she wrote it to him and said she wants to get to be batel. She doesn't say that it's because she doesn't care about the tanai, and therefore it's possible that what she meant was that she wants him to make sure to come back so that the tanai doesn't come into effect. And what she was trying to say, please make sure to come back within the 3 years. And so even though he says it sounds like she wants to stay married to him, nonetheless, she didn't, for what, in whatever conditions, nonetheless, she didn't say it explicitly, therefore it's unclear that we're allowed to do that, because it's called a gili data, and in halacha, it's never clear if somebody, if we feel that we know what somebody was thinking, that it's not so clear. And then you could say, well, afterwards, she got his letter saying, tear up the get, right? And she came to the guy who had written the get and said, so this is, well, we don't know what happened there in the conversation, because when the guy refused basically to tear up the get and said something to her that got her not to tear up the get. So we don't know that. The tearing up the get is the important thing. But we don't know that maybe he said something that convinced her that it's worth her while to keep the get just in case. And that would sound like then she hadn't gotten rid of the tanai. Because if, let's say, sister, what do you mean? You think in 5 years? What if you get back in 5 years or in 10 years? Then she gets nervous and she says, oh, you're right. So if that's what happened, the Tziv says, then the get was never butel because the Misadir get convinced her that it would not be in her interest to just rip up the get or even just before it go the Tanai, and she agreed, and then it wasn't torn up, and therefore it sounds like she changed her mind. And therefore, he says, I can't decide anything unless I have much more information. I need to hear all the sides, and therefore I can't decide it. So that becomes an interesting set of issues in terms of when we do and don't know people's intent and what they say they meant and what they did mean and how we do or don't know how to handle these situations. So that was the situation with this Kohen and his wife, where there was a get with a condition. The Kohen wanted the condition to be ignored. He wanted the get for not take effect. The woman seems, by some lights, to have felt the same way. If that's true, it becomes a question of whether they have the power to be mevata leget, to get rid of a get and say that even though the condition was fulfilled, we no longer want the get to have validity. It seems like we do have that power. We need to know explicitly that they invoke that power in here. In this situation, the Nitziv is uncertain that the woman did in fact invoke that power that she had fully and explicitly, and therefore he's not sure what to do. That's especially true, he says, because, as we saw in the earlier part of the tshuva, because there are two sides to this story. There are those who also know the story, who think that these people are clearly had to be divorced and could not stay married to each other because he's a Kohen and she's now a divorcee. And the tshuva has not heard from those people, and therefore we need to hear from those people, and he need to hear more facts of the situation before he could rule on it fully. And that is the tshuva's view for the first day of Kislev. If for him from Shav Reish Membet, for us in this year, a responsible day for the first day of Kislev, talking about issues of how you can or cannot get rid of the conditions in a get, how you can or cannot decide a get his batel is no longer valid, and how we can know when we're allowed to weigh in on arguments and disagreements to which we were not an original party. Have a great day.